Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. We are so glad to be back on the air. We are joined by Ms. Barbara Moore, and the website is hopeinc.tv. And we're going to try to do this once a week to give you a weekly summary of what's going on in the news and also to share with you information of really some wonderful things that's happening that could be really a lifesaver for the future of these precious children. But to start with, here on City on the Hill Radio Show, we always like to start with prayer. So I'm going to ask Ms. Barbara Moore to join us. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Oops, I think Ms. Barbara's on. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Can you hear us? Okay, I do not hear Ms. Barbara, and I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. Well, let's see. Hi, Ms. Barbara. I'm going to try to send her a little message just so that she can see that we are on the air. I'm just going to say I don't hear you. Okay. Hopefully she will see my message and hear us. Okay, she's going to try to call again. Okay, I'm sure she's going to call. Okay. We just had our marathon summit this past weekend, and it was so exciting. It was just really wonderful. It was very tiring, but it was very good. And here's Ms. Barbara. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Can you hear me now?
Hey, yes. I was on the air, but I got off. You couldn't see me, so I got off and called back in.
Okay, that's so good. Well, Ms. Barbara, what I said was, I don't know if you heard what I said. We're going to try to do this once a week. And we're going to try to do a recap. I'm going to call it a weekly summary. We have a blog on hopeinc.tv that says weekly summary, but I've been behind on it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put our show on that weekly summary, tab page, so that people can hopefully tune in, click on the links. I'm going to tell them about at the end of the show. And kind of get up to date as to what's going on matters that's going to affect their families, their children. And at the same time, we're going to give them some good news, too. You know, we always like to leave with some good news. And I think there's quite a few good news this week. I'm so excited about what you're doing. But as always on City on the Hill Radio Show, we'd like to start off with prayer. So you mind giving us some words of wisdom and start us off with prayer?
I would love to, Diana, and I thank you so much for always giving prayer priority on the City on a Hill radio show and in everything you do. And I just love that about you, and I appreciate it so much. And also, I like what you said about also focusing in on the good. You know, we do have to alert people and warn them what's happening. We have to be that watchman on the wall, but we also have to have eyes to see all the good that's happening and all the good that we can do. And let me go ahead and start with prayer, and then I'd like to talk about that just a little bit, too, just about the importance of seeing the good that can happen all around us. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that your arms are open wide to your people, Lord, to your family. Thank you, Father, we are your family in Christ Jesus. Through the Son of God, we are adopted into your family, O Lord, and grafted in to the vine. And we're just so grateful, Father, that you love us. You forgive us of our sins, Father, when we come in true repentance to you, surrendering our lives to you, Lord. You gave your life for us. And, Father, as we give our lives back to you, Lord, for your holy purpose and your holy plan. Lord, you're able to work with us and you work through us, and Father, to free us from the bondages, Father, that have held us captive from being able to love fully and completely and totally. And Father, to be able to move in the spirit realm and with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your deliverance from bondage, from sin, from those sins which do so easily beset us, oh God. You deliver us, Father, as we come to you and desire that. And I pray, Father, that your people, your family, Father, that we would more and more come to you and empty ourselves out and ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can live the lives you want us to live and do what you want us to do. Father, we acknowledge that you are all wise. You have all wisdom, all knowledge, and you are all powerful. And Father, we just thank you what you can do with your people when we really surrender to you, Lord. Have your way, O God. Have your way in us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have the broadcast tonight and to have the technology to be able to do this, to be able to talk about things that matter to you. And, Father, that to be able to reach a large number of people or even a small number of people, Father, who will take to heart your truths and act on them, Lord. We thank you that you are God. There is no other. There's none above you, none beside you, none like unto you, O God. And we praise you and we thank you and we worship you. Have your way tonight, Father, on this radio show, and have your way in our hearts, in our lives, the lives of our loved ones, all the listeners, Father, all your people. And we bless you, O God. You are our Father, and we love you. In Jesus' most precious and most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Ms. Barbara. Thank you so much. I'm just so grateful that we've got you. You're a veteran teacher, and you have such a love for children. I wish you could be everybody's teacher, Ms. Barbara, because from what I've seen with the kids that you've taught, they come away loving, loving God, loving their country, loving their families more, and really being good citizens, and with servant heart attitudes. And you were able to instill that while you were teaching. And I think a lot of teachers, that's probably why they went in to the field of teaching. But Ms. Barbara, as we have seen, times has changed. But do you want to go and talk about the good news first, or you want to talk about it last? Which way do you want to go?
Well, let me comment on what you just said, because I did have the privilege of teaching children, but what was so wonderful was that I got to teach them about God's hand in our history, in our great Christian heritage. And, because I loved learning about that myself, then I loved sharing what I learned. And so it was always exciting to me, and it was always just such a joy and such a pleasure. And I just loved it when our young people would get excited and love our country more and more. And it was just a very satisfying thing. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity. Now, what I was thinking about and what you said about sharing some good news, I was thinking about how in recent years, I'll say the last 50 years at least, more than that, truly. But as American Christians, we've been on the defensive. We've had to We've been under such attack, and our Christian principles have been under such attack. The Bible has been under assault. Biblical truths. Our Christian heritage has been under massive assault, and there is a war, a long-standing war with God going on in this country. And, you know, God's people have tried to defend in different places at different times, different parts of what's being attacked. And we're always on the defensive because we're always being attacked. But I just thought about, and I think it was something George Washington said, and I need to look this up, Diana, to verify that, but I think he said something like, the best defense is a good offense. And I think if we would, and I think I'm seeing this locally too, that but if we would go on the offense, if we would absolutely do whatever we see to do, whatever the next thing is before us in our communities, you know, let God lead us and guide us in going on the offense and taking ground, you know, for the kingdom of God, like we did at our beginning. In the beginning, you know, I think back to the Massachusetts Bay Colony and Plymouth Colony. You know, within probably 30 years, maybe a little bit more, but around that time, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, they had so many missions to the Indians, different and separate, something like, oh, Diana, I want to say it was something like 79 different Christian missions to the Indians.
And wow.
They were on the offense, you know. They were going forward. They were serious, and they were committed about advancing the kingdom of God. In the Mayflower Compact, they said, we come here for the glory of God. We plant this colony for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why they said they came, and they went forward with that. And so I think, I'm just thinking that we need to go forward, and we wouldn't have to defend as much if we would advance, you know. And which then brings me to what the Lord dropped in our lap here recently, which is the National Motto Act. Alabama passed the National Motto Act, In God We Trust, July 1st, 2018. It was signed into law, and it states that we can place the national motto, In God We Trust, in every public building, in every government building, vehicle, state trooper cars, police cars, sheriff's office, schools, classrooms, courthouses. We can publish that national motto, In God We Trust, everywhere. And it's an open door. It is absolutely a golden opportunity that we need to act on now. You know, we need to go forward, and we need to go forward in such great numbers. You know, here we're doing it in Houston County, in Dothan City. We've reached the Houston County schools. We're going forward with Dothan City schools. We want to go forward in Geneva County, Coffee County, Dale County, and then from them, those counties, they extend to the counties next to them so that we get this entire state covered, and we need to do it quickly. We need to go on the offense and take ground. And this is legal. It's exactly what we should do. The author of the bill, Representative David Standridge from Blount County, a wonderful Christian gentleman. He was in law enforcement for years. Then he became a probate judge there in Blount County. And now he's a representative in the Alabama legislature. And they were having, in the Alabama legislature, they were having a discussion about school safety. You know, everyone, all of us are so concerned about school safety in this day and age with everything that's going on. And so there was a big discussion going on about that. And that's how this bill came about, in part, was through this discussion. And Representative Standridge said that that he believed that displaying our national motto, "In God We Trust," would give comfort to the students, the teachers, and the staff in our schools while they're at school. And apparently, most of the legislature, Senate and House, agreed with him. It was passed almost unanimously. There were a few Democrat holdouts, but not many. And so it was passed, and then Governor Kay Ivey signed it into law on July 1st, 2018. And after that happened, Diana, Representative Standridge was contacted by Fox News, Fox and Friends, and he appeared on the show. And what he told them was that he believed it was it's a simple message. Our national motto is "In God We Trust." It's a simple message, but a powerful message. And apparently, a lot of people are agreeing with him because we're going forward in getting our national motto, "In God We Trust," everywhere that we can place it. And in Blount County, the school board even passed a resolution of support so that their schools would know that the Board of Education had their backs. And this is something that they approved, and they stated that in writing. And so Blount County is covered. In fact, I got to tell you this, because it is so precious. Representative Standish told us a couple of stories about the response there in Blount County. And by the way, the surrounding counties have entered into this also, and they are displaying the National Motto Act. Limestone County, Marshall County, Coleman, there are several. And but the story that touched my heart so was that they were shut down. They always prayed before football games, and they were sued by one of the groups, you know, that does that. And so the attorney for the school board said that they'd better not pray, so they were not going to pray at the ball game. Well, the next ball game, what happened was that the entire stadium stood up. Everyone in the stadium stood up, and they prayed the Lord's Prayer together, resounding through that football field and into the heavens, praying the Lord's Prayer together. And then, after that, get this, Diana. After that the football team came barreling out on the field, all of them carrying a poster, "In God We Trust," to the wild applause of the stadium, people in the stadium.
Oh, Miss Barbara, that is awesome. What a testimony. And those kids were behind it. Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. And it can be done, really, Miss Barbara. I think if we be
that's
bold,
right.
It can be done anywhere.
It can be. It can be. And we just have to see these opportunities and just go with it. We've got to go with it. We can't hold back. We just got to go forward and take ground. We really do.
Wow. Okay, I like what you just said. We've got to go forward. Y'all, folks, listen to that. We've got to go forward and take ground. And I think I've heard you with that occupy until he comes, you know, scripture.
Yeah.
And I've heard Mr. Wayne Wood, which is another teacher like you that loves this country, very patriotic. And he says, you know,
yes,
that occupy
indeed.
Until he comes, it's not about sitting still on your couch. He said that's really
very
being proactive. You're fighting to get to the next hill.
That's right. And you know what, Diana? It's no life laying on the couch. This is life. Being involved in things that matter to God, that's life. That's life giving.
Oh,
it's exciting. It's an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
I like what you said, Miss Barbara.
Yeah, I remember something else Wayne Wood said.
Would you mind reminding me, Miss Barbara, what you said, which is to take a, really, we have to advance, is what you were saying.
Yeah. The best defense, a good offense is the best defense. And I think that's attributed to George Washington. I'll have to look that one up, but I seem to remember that. But something else Wayne Wood said was we've got to keep the light on. We've got to keep the lights on. You know, we can't let the world go out in total darkness. We have got to keep the lights on. And the way we do that is we go forward. We don't stay in the darkness. We go forward. We take the light. We light a candle wherever we go and bring light. God is light. And we're to be light wherever we are and shine brightly and like the city on a hill, like the radio show named for, you know.
Well, Miss Barbara, I was looking at something and I saw where, you know, when we've done this city on a hill many years ago, I would look in the back as to who were listening. And, you know, we've got listeners in America, but you know what was so strange was, and we even got to talk to somebody in Holland. Do you remember?
I do remember.
Is that there's people in different parts of the world that catches what you're talking about, and to them it's like you're saying, and Mr. Wayne was saying, you know, it's like you got to shine the light.
Yeah,
you got to shine the light. I mean, I can just imagine if we were living in a place where there's hardly any hope, right? Because a lot of these nations are very socialist, right? They're under tyrannical rulers. And it's just really very, it's almost like the darkness has taken over, right? Their nation, their cities.
Yeah.
But I think when they hear what you're saying, which is, you know, here's one thing that we have done, which is, you know, we actually are using, you know, the motto, "In God We Trust," and we're going forward with it. And, you know, people are excited about it. Young people want it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's yeah. it's like, I think it's a little bit like when you do the right thing, even though you may be afraid to do it, you know, because you don't know what the opposition's going to do. I think it's like faith, right? Faith is really acting on something that you know, I mean, you can't see it. But with
right,
God,
right.
and you know you're doing His will, it's not like you're doing something that is out of God's will, because He says to ask, and I love that in Matthew 7:7, where He says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. And when you're asking, and if you're asking according to His will, it will be done. And that's pretty much what you have done. You have asked because you have heard for so long. You are a teacher that have seen the heartbreak. You have seen the heartbreak in a lot of these young people because you know what they're capable of doing because you've taught them. You were able to make somebody that probably didn't have any self-esteem, you know, come to decide that, hey, I am going to go to work for Congress. I'm going to be this or that, you know. I've heard you tell stories, you know, of young kids that didn't seem to care. But, you know, something that you taught, you know, invigorated them and encouraged them, and it made a difference for the rest of their lives. And I think that's what schools used to do.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, children were brought in, up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They were taught that because they're created in God's image and likeness, they have great value, great worth, and they have great potential, that God created them with abilities and gifts and talents, and that they're to use these and develop them for His glory and the good of mankind. That was one of William Penn's, the founder of Pennsylvania, that was one of his prayers always, was for God's glory and the good of mankind. And I like praying that also. But, you know, they were brought up, children were brought up, taught that they had great value and worth, and no, regardless of their background, this was the place, this was the one place on the face of the earth where the circumstances of your birth do not determine the course for your life. And yes, they were taught that, and I taught that. You know, this is the land of opportunity. This is the land of hope. And God has given us great favor by allowing us to be born here, to be part of this great holy experiment, as William Penn called it, holy experiment in self-government, where, you know, because we're created in God's image and likeness, we are capable. We are capable and responsible for governing ourselves. James Madison said that we are to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Now, he was our fourth president of the United States, and he was a great scholar, and he was one of the authors of the Federalist Papers, influencing others to accept the United States Constitution and ratify it. And, of course, he was the architect of the United States Constitution there in 1787, James Madison. But, you know, Diana, these were things that were taught and must be taught if we're to have a complete picture of who we are as Americans, who we are as Christians. You know, it's a beautiful life that God wants us to have. And, you know, you think about being part of being American. And as you talked about earlier, there are so many places on the face of the earth where there is hopelessness and darkness and tyranny and abuse. And yet here we are. We live in the in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And it is estimated that less than 5% of the world's population in the history of the world has ever experienced the freedom that we enjoy as Americans. And what to me that says that God trusts us, you know, that he trusts us with this freedom, that we'll not use it as a license, you know, for licentiousness and as a license to sin, not use that freedom, but as an opportunity to do good, as an opportunity to go forth and help others. You know, I mean, that's freedom. We have a responsibility it's a double-edged coin, you know. Responsibility goes with that freedom. And that's how it's always been taught until recent years. So,
well, Ms. Barbara, let me go ahead and talk about the weekly summary, because I think we do this once a week on Thursday night, and we pretty much have seen the news for the week, and we can give a recap. And I think what we're seeing today, unfortunately, is what they saw in Germany, which news is not news, it's propaganda, right? I mean,
yes.
I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but Hollywood is making a movie about hunting deplorables. Now, if it had been the other side, I mean, there would be such an outcry. But yet, you know, here it is, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of things that's happening that I think normally society would have not just frowned upon, but say, hey, take it off. We're not going to even air it. We're not going to allow it to be shown, right?
Right.
And yet it's being ignored. But that's one of them that I want to share to everybody. And then all this stuff that happened last weekend where two young people, one supposedly was white supremacist and the other one was, you know, a leftist Satanist, and they took it upon themselves that they are going to kill. And they killed a lot of people. But instead of condemning the action and the person that committed that act, and, you know, we are condemning the fact that, hey, the gun was used. And therefore, if we take away every gun in the country, we are going to be safer. There's nobody going to be harmed. We are not going to go through this pain. And I'm thinking, isn't that a little bit of, I don't know what the word is to say, because it's almost like, do we not use our brains anymore and not realize that an inanimate object like a gun does not kill?
Yeah.
And then a gunfire, here's an article, gunfire erupts near Chicago playground, injuring 7. Now, this happened, you know, this week too, but are you seeing the media talk about that? Are you seeing people going over there and doing something about it? Are you hearing the Democrats be outraged about that? No. And so a thinking person, an adult thinking person, can understand why young people are so, you know, misled, because we know that's why we were fighting against the education system. It's about indoctrination and brainwashing. But adults, I think we adults really have to be the adults, right? and say, hey, let's think. Let's use our brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have the right of self-defense. You know, we have the Second Amendment to the Constitution for a reason. You know, the right of life gives you the right of self-defense, you know. God expects us to be able to defend ourselves and our loved ones. And, you know, this is just, there's no common sense to the anti-gun movement. There's no common sense to it whatsoever. No brain matter is being used to perpetuate their arguments. It's just all emotion. It's that social-emotional learning that they've been indoctrinated in. And, you know, they think because they feel a certain way, they're right. You know, don't have to have.
Well, and the fact
have to think.
And the facts are against them. And Ms. Barbara, I'm just going to point this out to also, Chicago is one of those towns that's got the most gun laws. And it's saying what's happened is pretty much because the people do not have the guns. They're like, you know, it's like open season, pretty much, is what's happening in Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the part that people need to get. I mean, when you've got to realize that this is all about brainwashing in order to give up the guns. Because when you look at a town like Chicago, and even as hard as I've heard and have seen, because they built a statue in London, Miss Barbara, because, you know, there's no guns in London, right? They've taken away the guns. But they built a statue because of the stabbings, the killings that was done to people with, guess what? They didn't use guns. They used knives. And there was a statue erected in London to remind them. So it's like, again, it's like let's not think like a child being led, you know, like children. We are adults, and we know that if they don't use guns, they will use something else. And that's just a fact. And Ms. Barbara, you know, when you taught kids to think reasonably, I mean, that was a lifelong thing. I mean, you know, to be able to think reasonably is what I thought school did. But now what's happening in our schools is they're really not being taught to think. It's like Joan Landis, our mental health expert that we love, has said, you know, she pointed to the Common Core standards that what she was seeing in the curriculum was this is a lot of groupthink. This is going to make kids very easily manipulated, easily misled. And she said, remember the Arab Spring. These are the kind of children it's going to raise. And we're seeing that with Antifa. You know, these are the kind of young people that are just, like you said, social, emotional learning, you know. And so I really can't blame the young people, Ms. Barbara, because somebody
they learn what
moved the young people.
Yeah. And we've allowed the enemy of the soul of America and the soul of our children and the souls of we've allowed the enemy to take over the educational system and control the content of what is taught to children, impressionable children who learn what they're taught, and we've allowed that to be totally compromised. And even though you have, you know, good, wonderful people going into the teaching profession who love children. We've talked about this before. But what they're being required to teach now is not it's not real knowledge. It's not how to think. It's what to think. And it's all about the leftist philosophy. That is being taught, the socialism that's being taught, the groupthink, as you mentioned, it's just wrong, and it destroys children. You know, children, they are just so full of potential, and so full of. They want to learn, you know, if they haven't been thwarted in this, if they haven't been, if that love of learning hasn't been destroyed, they do love to learn. And from my experience in the classroom in a Christian school, I saw children and young people that really loved learning about how good their country is, how decent and honorable the decent and honorable things that we have stood for in the past, and the good people, the heroes that we have real heroes who sacrificed greatly to do what's right in God's sight and to do to help our country, and not just a few, not just 100, not thousands, just so many heroic people, and I could see how that made a difference to young people as they learned about them. It inspired them, Diana. It inspired them, and it inspired them to be heroes and to do heroic achievements, you know.
Ms. Barbara, let me interject here a modern-day hero, if I may, which is I know when President Trump first arrived on the scene, he was not my pick. But then, you know, the Bible says, by his fruits you shall know him. And what has been the fruit of this man is that he has such a love for this country that he's basically sacrificed, you know, so
yes.
much for this country
yes.
because he didn't need the money. He didn't need the status. He was really better off before he ran. He wasn't hated as much. But I am looking at the news about China, which, you know, China has been stealing intellectual property, a lot of things, really, for a long, long time. That's been, decades after decades, right, that they've gotten away from it. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're able to invite businesses come to your country, but at the same time, in order to do that, they have to give up their intellectual property, well, what does that mean? You are going to turn that business over to China because they're going to do such a good job of copying what you're doing that they're going to be the master. And there's a story here about it's called the Cineville case. Cineville had a $700 million contract with the country was Massachusetts technology company, the American Superconductor, AMSC. And they had like a $700 million contract for the use of the software from that American Superconductor. Well, guess what? Cineville stopped paying for that software back in 2011, and it still owed the semiconductor $100 million. See, this is what happens to this Chinese wind turbine company, Cineville. They steal intellectual property so that they can master how to build. You know, in this case, it was, I think, technology for the wind turbine. And so what happens to that American businessman? Well, they lose business. And that's what's happening all over. And people have been ignoring that. Presidents have been ignoring that. And here comes Trump. Which, you know, Trump is always looking at the art of the deal. He's looking at what's best to deal for the United States, right? And Ms. Barbara, it's like a home. When you're seeing somebody in your house coming in and stealing from you, are you going to say thank you? You know, have at it some more.
Well, President Trump has stood up to them, and he's the only president who has. You know, the Bible says the enemy comes to rob, steal, and destroy. And that pretty much summarizes what China does. China has stated, I remember back in the 90s, that was quite a while ago, Diana, but they stated very clearly that their intention was to rule the world. And you remember during Bill Clinton's administration, if they didn't steal it, he gave it or sold it to them. Technology, he gave waivers for technology. He helped them with their missiles. They were having trouble getting their missiles to go where they wanted them to go. And so Bill Clinton gave a waiver on the information that would help them. That was classified, but he declassified it. And so, you know, what they haven't stolen, they have bought. They gave millions to Bill Clinton's campaign and so forth. They've stolen and they've bought and so forth. and they intend to rule the world. They believe they are the center of the world. And you have to look at the ideology behind the administration there in China. They are communists. And anything that advances communism is A-OK with them. Lying, stealing, killing, whatever. You know, that's their whole life is this this communism and advancing it and advancing themselves in the world to become the world ruler. And they have made no secret of this. And also back in the 90s, at one point, and this went on for a long time, China charged 34% tariffs on every product that came into China. 34% tariffs.
Wow.
And we charged zero. So we ran into a deficit, such a trade deficit. It's unreal, you know. Trillion.
Wow.
Trillion, I think. Yeah. So,
I didn't know that, Ms. Barbara.
But you know, President Trump knows who he's dealing with, and he knows that with you know, you have to stand up to them. You cannot kowtow to them. They see that as weakness, and they will take advantage of it every time. So,
well, what I'm hearing,
yeah,
Ms. Barbara, is that now that she, the you know, the head of China, is wanting to not negotiate with him until after the election because he's wanting to hurt the economy, you know, the U.S. economy, so that it will affect President Trump. But I pray, I'm going to be praying for President Xi to open his eyes, because while he's hurting us, he's also hurting his own people. You know,
yeah,
and they've got that,
yeah,
problem with Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong problem
really
is really
that.
No, but if you know, the Hong Kong problem is really horrible, because what it is, the Hong Kong people are knows what's happening to prisoners of China. It's like it's an organ factory. If you are in a,
yeah,
Chinese prison, your likelihood of being you know, harvested for your organs is very high. And they know that's what's going to happen when they're no longer having to face, you know, a justice in Hong Kong. It will be into the China, I don't know what you would call it, but that is such a horrible picture. And I think this is why American people really need to know more of why President Trump is fighting for us. Because, you know, China is, like you said, they do have a plan, and they are saying by 2025, you know, they want to be number one. And with artificial intelligence, and they've stolen a lot of intellectual property, you know, if we don't put a stop to this now, I don't know that, you know, I mean, they will be there. They want to be the new masters, but, and they're not good masters.
Well, keep in mind also that they have been building this massive army of soldiers. They have aborted baby girls. And, you know, they had the one-child policy. Well, most parents wanted a male child to be able to take care of them, you know, when they got older, support
mm-hmm.
them. And so a disproportionate amount of girls were aborted, were killed. And then even after they were born, they also killed the females as well. So they have all this huge army of males. In fact, now there are not any females to marry. It's so bad. And so I understand they're going into other countries and capturing women and, you know, for that purpose. Mm. But yeah, no, this is who they are. And this is what they do.
And Ms. Barbara, I think we have to remember the power of praying. We are a praying people. That is a legacy from the Founding Fathers. And I always love to remember the history of the parents that came here. And really, God answered the parents' prayers. So when we fight with the Stop Common Core movement, it's so good to know that God moved heaven and earth
to answer the prayers of parents who wanted their children to be free from tyranny. And that's really, to me, the basis of this nation. It's about the children, you know, God and his goodness. So we want to pray again as praying people, and we know that God hears. And so before we end up getting off the air, I'd like to pray for what's going on. So what we want to do with this show is once a week, hopefully every Thursday night, you can tune in, folks, at 7 p.m., and me and Ms. Barbara will be on. We're going to be talking about what's in the news, you know, during the week. And right now, China is a big issue. We want to be supportive of President Trump. You know, she wants to destroy this nation and our economy so that Trump does not win. And I say we stick with him, you know, because in the end,
yeah,
we win. We stick with President Trump on this. We win because all China will do, all they're doing is buying time. Because if they can get more of our intellectual property, we will not have anything worth fighting, you know, for to keep, because they will own it all. So, but anyway, we will pray for them. We know the power of prayer, but also the children. You know, we want these children to have a future. And so we have to fight for it. We can't just stand by and just see it go away. But as Ms. Barbara had said, you know, goodness gracious, we have been given such a power by God to put our faith and trust in him, just like the founders did, right, Ms. Barbara? They put their faith and
That's
trust
right.
in God, and it made all the difference. So if you're living in a state where it's all blue right now, New York, California, you know, let's try to get more let's try to get more people registered to vote that can see like we do that children matter, you know, in this election. And for too long, you know, unfortunately, the Democrats, I mean, they passed a law that now, you know, that men can, you know, can play in women's sports. You know, how good is that? And be dominant, be number one in a woman's sports. You know, how crazy is this movement that's going on? You know, where kids are being taught 15 genders. And if you dare call somebody out the wrong gender, you know, you can be sued. How insane is that? So, you know, do what Ms. Barbara is doing, which is, hey, put your faith and trust in God. Start out with a In God We Trust posters. You're going to have some people that will say, hey, I want that in my classroom. You know, you may have a principal that will not give you a hard time and say, yes, yeah, sure. But if nothing else, you know, that's something you can put in your house and just remember, you know, to pray for the children. I've worked in an agency before where I couldn't do much, but I would put names every Saturday, and I would lift up those names, and it made a difference. And we'll talk about some of these miracles. Me and Ms. Barbara loves to talk about the miracles that God has done. So we'll be doing that, too, in the future, because God is such a powerful, almighty, you know, the maker of heaven and earth. And sometimes we forget what he does. I mean, look at Ben Carson. Ben Carson is a testimony of when a parent asked God for help. This mother had not graduated high school. And look at what she's gotten, Ben Carson. That was God talking to the mother. He can do that to you too. He can make a way for your child. But the first thing you got to do is trust him. You got to ask him for help. Trust him. Know who he is. He said, abide in him and I will abide in you. So with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, would you start us off in closing prayer, and I will close it too, because I know I've got some plea for him.
Okay, I surely will, Diana. But you know, to add what you said about Ben Carson's mother, she could not even read when her boys, Ben and his brother, were growing up, and their dad had abandoned them. She could not even read, and so one of the things the Lord told her to do was take him to the library, have him check out books, and turn off the TV and read the books. They're to read the books. Well, she had them write book reports on every book they read. They had to write a book report. But because she couldn't read, she had them read it to her, read those reports to her. And how wonderful was that? They did not even know it. You know, of course, she learned to read. She graduated college even, you know, in later years. But at that point, and here she was, but she was leading her family. She was teaching those boys. And, you know, with very difficult circumstances, but it was God who taught her that. It was God who brought them through. And so
wow.
with that in mind, yeah, let's whatever the circumstances are, with God, all
mm-hmm.
things are possible. And we're just
yeah.
so grateful for that. And I think about all the miracle stories in the founding of our nation and how God was so present in every circumstance. And the same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. And so we come before the living God, the true and living God of the Bible, who loves us, who gave himself for us, and wants us to do great and mighty exploits in his name and with his power. He desires that for us, that we'll be able to take care of our families, our children, and our communities, to build up good communities and to make our nation great again and good again. So with that in mind, let's go to him in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, how great you are, O God. How good you are, O God. And we praise you, Father. We're overwhelmed with your goodness to us. Father, if it were nothing more than being American, Father, and living in this wondrous country, which became the wonder of the world, Father, if it were nothing more, we would thank you forever for that. Because it's such a privilege, it's such a gift, it's such a treasure. So, Father, but you give much more. The Bible says that you are a very present help in trouble, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that you love us and you love our children, and you teach us how to raise them up in you for good and holy life, a wonderful life. Father, your word tells us to think on those things that are honest and true and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And Father, I pray that we'll be teaching our children that. And Father, there'll be a renewing, a renaissance of the desire to learn those things that are good and honorable and decent and wonderful, and to advance that knowledge, Lord. What a gift you give us, Father, the gift of learning, the gift of communication, gift of teaching, and how, Father, you desire for us to have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And in your light, we'll see light, your word says. So, Father, we just lift up our nation to you. We lift up our people to you. We lift up our families to you, Lord. And we ask for your very best. We ask, Father, that we will look to you to empower us with your spirit, with your life, to be able to be what you want us to be, Father, all that you want us to be, Lord. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Diana?
Oh, thanks, Mom. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of sharing your good news, your truth, and, Lord, how you are our hope. And that, Lord, you never leave us, you never forsake us. And, Lord, we thank you for your word and how powerful that word is, Lord. And right now, Lord, we want to lift up parents in every state, Lord, grandparents in every state. And, Lord, I would even put in every nation, Lord.
Yes.
There are so many hurting parents, Lord, in need of your grace, Lord, to make a difference, Lord, for the lives of their families, their children, Lord. Lord, help them. Give them supernatural wisdom as you have given that mother, Ben Carson's mother, that supernatural wisdom on how to make a difference for their children, Lord, that they would not be cast away, Lord, that they would not be helpless and hopeless and just destroyed, Lord, by the enemy. Lord, we lift up the school systems, Lord. We know there's godly teachers in our schools, and Lord, they've been made to be afraid, and we ask that you empower them, that you will remind them that you are with them, Lord. And we thank you for this privilege, Lord, of giving everything to you in prayer. And Lord, I just lift up the president of China and ask that you would work in his life, that he would come to know you as his Lord and Savior. I pray that, Lord, for the President Maduro of Venezuela, that, Lord, you would remove him from his position of power, that a new leader could come in, free Venezuela. And, Lord, everywhere there's hurting people because of their leaders, Lord, are so lost. And we ask that you would help them, Lord. Bring forth godly leaders that will make a way when there seems to be no way. And here in our country, Lord, we ask for uncommon favor for our president, Lord. And for those trying to help them to make America a better place, Lord, we ask that you would give them supernatural wisdom, uncommon favor. And we ask, Lord, that people that who are called by your name, Lord, that we will not just be sitting down, but we will be active, Lord. We will do something, Lord. We will not just stand still and watch, but we will actually, Lord, listen to you and do what it is that you want us to do, Lord, to help. And, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for your word, Lord. May it go far and wide. Bless this In God We Trust movement, Lord, all over this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara.
Thank you, Diana. God bless you. And God bless you, listeners.
Oh, yes. And we want them to tune in again next week, Ms. Barbara. We've got that hopeinc.tv website. It's H-O-P-E-I-N-K. Like, you know, writing ink, hopeinc.tv. And if you'll scroll down on the front page, you will see a link to our app. And there's even a QR code that you can just scan to get our app. And when you download this free app, it'll say unknown source, but that's because we're not on Google Play. But we are free, but it's a great app. As a matter of fact, it will help you as you're fighting for their children, your children. It's got a place on it that's called Politics Watch where you can go and find out what bills are, you know, in your state. You can put a bill number there, or you can even do a search by the issue, you know, and I was looking for something for immunization. And, you know, you could look things up on there and find out what bills are, you know, in this year. There's a place to put the year that you're looking for. But it's been a wonderful help for us. And also, there's a link to listen to this podcast that will be happening every Thursday. And we just had the August 3rd Summit Marathon with all sorts of speakers, Joan Landis, Peg Luxick, Donna Garner, Ms. Barbara, Neil Mammon, all sorts of people joined us, Lou Campagnosi, Fight Parsons. It was a wonderful all-day program. And would like for you to listen in. We've got part one of it on the podcast. So just click on that podcast link, the blog talk link on the app, and you'll see August 3rd event, and you can listen to part one. We will hopefully have part two soon and part three so that you can listen to all the ideas and information that were shared. So all this is done because we live in the land of the free, home of the brave, and we love these precious children. May God bless us and help us. God bless you, and may he shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Good night.